Hall & Oates Saturday Night Takeaway will not be heard at this time because it has apparently been taken away. In its place, listen to a couple of guys who'll be together forever, with or without Rick Astley.
Forever and ever, DuPont. Oh, I can't do it. Anyway.
No, you can't sing anymore because we'd have to pay him.
Oh, that's true. Hi, Chico Alexander here.
Jason Block here.
My partner in crime, Gordon Pepper, is out making money for the company, but I imagine that he is going to be peeping in momentarily. But in the meantime, I have to ask you one question, Jay.
What's that?
What are we doing here on a Wednesday?
Well, the reason why we're doing it here on a Wednesday is because you lucky so-and-so, are flying to Chicago to compete with a bunch of quiz heads and at the annual SporkleCon for trivia, rights, and profit.
Yes.
I know there are a lot. It's not, is it the same thing like the one they did in Chicago a couple of years ago before the pandemic, or is that a different thing?
That was Geek Bowl they did. That was the Geeks Who Drink promotion. This is Sporkle.
Okay, so it's SporkleCon, Chicago edition. So we're here, on a Wednesday, in the words of Dave LaGreca. We're going to hear talk about Big Brother, Project Runway, Millionaire, someone getting really close on Pressure Luck, 5 good questions on the Practice Right, and not heads on sticks, but actors on stage with WLTI Theater. But let's get to it, shall we?
Yes, from somewhere in America, WLTI is on. Let's go.
Whee! Hit it, baby. Time for episode 502 here at WLTI at 5 and 1. My name is Jason Block. This is the World's Strongest Game Show podcast. I am your strength and conditioning coach and hydration expert, but I'm also using a travel agency this week because our friend Chico over here is going to Chicago. You lucky beep. You know, so.
Hey, one day this is going to go to New York City, and then I'm going to be like, Jay, take the L train, get down here. No, wait, the L train's in Chicago. Take the 6 and get, I don't know how subways work.
I'll take the subway, but you know what? First, we need to go to Radford. Hit it.
Previously on Big Brother.
So after a Big Brother Unlocked episode, including Jerry O'Connell, Brother last two Big Brother winners, Chelsea and Jag, and then the mastermind and Jimmy, we go to the eviction and Rachel feeling alone, and we have a old school Jack the Dipper head of household competition where they watch Jack the Dipper double dip into 3 separate bowls. They must identify the bowl that Jack dipped into most. The first wins, and then asks who they want to face, and so on and so on. And in the final round, Ava becomes head of household to defeating Will. And I'm like, okay. Are we going to do something interesting? Okay.
Well, we're going to do something interesting, but at the same time, is it really?
Right, because she said that Rachel and Zach were safe. And Mickey is learning that Ava wants Keanu, Vince, and Ashley, and she wants to shift. After discussions with Mickey and Will, she nominates Keanu, dull surprise, Vince, dull surprise, and Zach. What?
I'm sorry, what?
Okay. Zach was doing nothing.
Zach?
Right?
Yeah, Zach was not ruffling any feathers. He's just guilty of guilt by association at this point because he's hanging out with the people that Ava wants gone, namely Keanu and Vince. So it's like, okay, how do we solve this problem?
Yeah, how do we solve a problem like Zach? Right, okay, you know.
What? At this point, I'm like, what problem?
Okay. Yeah, what problem? So, Zach was kind of shocked, okay? So, Morgan is starting to become a little bit of a target because she's like, Ava's household is sucking. So, we get Catherine, Will, Ava, Zach, Keanu, and Vince, right?
Right.
In the elusive target veto punishment competition and reward, they must slide a disc aiming not to score the lowest. Each elimination, they get either a prize or a punishment. Okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, the cool thing about this was the fact that you slid a disc, but you didn't know where you were sliding it to unless you had a memory because the visuals went away, which was a nice twist. I liked that. I really did.
It was a decent twist. It almost it plays into the whole mystery theme for this year. And, okay. And you know what? Props to CBS for committing to the bit, by the way.
Right, exactly. Yes, and I'm loving the fact that they're still... Well, except for the mastermind, but we'll get to that later. So... After all the shenanigans that went down, right? So, Will got the trip to London. Ava walked away with $5,000. And Keanu, Vince, and Zach each received the punishment. One had to dress in an egg suit. One had to try and steal 100,000 Big Brother pills. And he chose Rachel. That was Zach. And Vince and Keanu is the butler, I believe, right? Because he's got a tray on his butt where he serves pigs in a blanket.
Yes, okay? He's a butler with two T's.
Right. And Catherine wins the power of veto and does not use it for the first time this season. Correct? I believe this is
that is correct. Right? Meanwhile, a couple of notes here. Rachel is learning that Morgan plans to save her in the game simply to ensure that she sits on the jury. So Morgan is self-snitching at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And second...
Well, first of all, number one... Do you really want Rachel on the jury? No.
No.
You want her out now.
You want her persona non grata.
Look. And besides, honestly, Rachel, as we've said before, has been playing a terrible game.
She wouldn't be the only one, just the most prominent one.
Yeah, well, a lot of them have really not been playing the game well this year. They haven't. Okay? So, nominations are, as of tomorrow night, Zach, Vince, and Keanu. Who goes home? And does it depend? I think it depends, doesn't it?
Yeah. I will tell you who does not go home. Keanu does not go home. If Vince wins the BB Blockbuster... Zach goes home. If Zach,
who really thinks so?
If Zach wins the BB Blockbuster, Vince goes home. And here's why I think that. Because Zach had a golden opportunity to save himself, and he did not use it. Remember on night one?
No, it's the BB buyout. He could have used it.
I was just about to say. Remember on night one, Zach... had a BB buyout because he won the first challenge. He does not use it. As a bit of explanation as to what the BB buyout is, a bit of a reminder, this $10,000 buyout can be used to buy your safety at any time prior to jury. If you are on the block at the end of the veto meeting and you feel your game is in jeopardy, you can use this $10,000 to buy your safety. You can take yourself off the block by giving the HOH $10,000 and forcing them to name a new nominee. DHOH cannot stop this transaction. This is a one-sided decision.
Correct. It's the rules, and I got that from a group I am on now called BB in the House. Okay.
So Zach could have, you know, given up his 10,000 to ensure his safety. It is.
He didn't want to give it to Ava because of the fight they had.
Which, if you ask me, is basically putting emotions over gameplay. Why would you do that?
Well, I can understand. Well, I could understand it, but I don't agree with it. Look, $10,000 could be a lot of things to a lot of people. Know what I'm saying?
Yep. Not gonna lie, $10,000 is a lot of money in this economy. Yeah.
Okay. So what I believe is that Zach is trying to look for the long game, but I don't see Zach winning. So I think he should have. I don't see him winning. So I understand why he did not use his power.
I agree. So I understand why he used it or why he didn't use it, but I really think using his power was the move here. But again, this is why the game is what it is, and this is why this season is what it is, which is just a bunch of people who have no idea how to play this game.
Sadly true. They're not playing strategy. I mean, I think what they're doing is they're sacrificing drama for actual what they think is gameplay, and it's not. Because none of the alliances are solid, at least to me. They're all floating back and forth to who they think is safe. I mean, it's still early yet.
Yeah, it is. And the thing of it is, it's like...
We're due for a double elimination really soon.
Well, and I'd say in a couple more weeks, like the end of August, but I'm thinking to myself, this season is basically everybody is only as solid as their options. Know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with that, but... Yeah, let's move on.
Sadly, we don't have a visit from the Clunk music, but we have...
No, we do not because of all that stuff.
Yeah. So let's go from the house to the runway, and here is what we're dealing with. Burlap sacks on the runway. You ever heard the joke of a person who would make a burlap sack look good?
That's what they did this time around?
Kind of, sort of. The point of this episode was to make boring look fabulous. Now, this was all part of a brand integration that makes absolutely no sense. I'm not even going to dwell on it any further. But we rearranged the teams. Once again, it's House of Jesus, which features Antonio, Madeline, VJ, and Belania. They chose a gray wool to use. House of Ethan, which includes Yuchen, Joseph, McCray, Joan, and Angelo, chose plain old denim. So Nina Garcia is absent this week, but we do have Sarah Foster back. And guest judge, are you ready for this? Sofia Vergara. Sofia Vergara. So, not only do we have all of the standard trappings of a Project One Way episode, we have the hook that the winner's dress will be worn by Sofia for a spot involving the brand integrated sponsor.
Okay,
so, this is where, I don't know what's going on here, but this is where the show goes off the rails. House of Jesus walks first. The panel absolutely adores it. Madeline has a mini dress with a collar and open back. BJ has a structured dress. Melania has a jumpsuit. Jesus has a jacket. Antonio has a mermaid gown. The judges are literally eating this all up. This is all out of boring, drab, gray wool, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have House of House of Utica, because Ethan shows up in his drag persona, Utica Queen. Why? Ratings? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it either. It just seems to me they're pulling out tricks for the sake of tricks. Can we get to the eliminations, please? Can we move it on?
Yes.
Just a little faster.
Suffice it to say, House of Jesus wins. And, okay, this is where I want to agree with Jason Block. So far this season, every elimination has been a cliffhanger. It is the cheapest, quickest way to manufacture drama and or ratings. But it's not being authentic to the core of the show. Case in point, this episode where we have the bottom three of Joan, Angelo, and Ethan. Joan let her team leader guide her to a poor design, Angelo's construction is poor, and Ethan's outfit is, and now I'm quoting, "The cervix is dilating and she's crowning." And Heidi calls it a costume party and suggests they can all leave. They wouldn't
Wonderful.
They wouldn't do that, would they? Of course not, because they have to have a hook to keep people attracted to their TVs, their tablets, their phones, their laptops, whatever. And that's what I have a problem with, because this is the cheap, sloppy way to manufacture drama.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this, I will agree with Jason Block.
Who knew?
Please don't tell my friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we'll see who gets eliminated next week. Millionaire, unfortunately, was a couple of bomb outs this week. Spoiler alert. So we have Adam Devine playing for the Children's Miracle Network. And Anders Holm, Pool and Hot Tub Foundation, Step Into Swim, who are the podcasters for This Is Important. They get to the...
They get to 64,000. No, hold on.
In the first 10, they use the ask the host for a dime question. Ask the audience for the $16,000 question. Okay. And get to $125,000 for this one. Which of the following actors was once offered but ultimately turned down the role of Han Solo in Star Wars? Al Pacino, John Travolta, Gene Hackman, and Robert Redford. I did not know this.
I remember hearing this because in this house we stand Star Wars. The Acolyte be damned.
But could you imagine, you know, Al Pacino going, Attica!
Hey, it's like he's flying the Millennium Falcon through space, getting hit all over the place by TIE fighters. Like, hey, I'm flying here!
Right, no. Unfortunately, they said Robert Redford, not using the lifelines they had, and split 32,000.
Yep. Then we move on.
Then we,
Then we move on to Helen Hunt and Dan Bukatinski. Helen is playing for the St. Joseph Center. Dan Bukatinski played for the Trevor Project. They managed to zoom up to 64,000, where they have to use their friend Tim Lopez, on this question.
Oh, they used the 50-50 on the 16.
Oh, they did. Okay. My mistake. So they used their phone of friends on this question for 64,000. The world's earliest civilization began in Mesopotamia, a region in modern-day Iraq with a name meaning land between the what? Fields, mountains, continents, rivers.
I know this because I know my 7th grade social studies team.
Same.
Social studies. It's the land between the rivers.
Yes, and Tim had it. Helen and
By Dan the way, the rivers it. Are... Okay, trivia boy. What are the two rivers?
All right, Richard Trivia Boy. The two rivers are the Tigris. And, hey, one of us has been on Jeopardy 4 times more than the other one. Anyway.
Anyway.
It is the Tigris and the Euphrates.
That is correct. So then they get the hunt. They ask the audience for the 125, and they say, the jujitsu handshake is a U.S. Supreme Court tradition in which all 9 justices shake hands with each other once for a total of how many handshakes? 18, 25, 36, or 57. Now, okay, I'm not a math guy, okay? If the audience gets to 36, how?
Okay, it's really simple. One person shakes hands with 8 other people. Another person will shake hands with 7 other people. Then 6, 5, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That's right. It's 36. Yep. There you go.
That's how you get there. And okay. From there we go to a 250,000. And this question, primarily set in the year 2805, which of these movies took place furthest in the future? WALL-E, Alien, Avatar: The Way of Water, or Idiot, or Idiocracy.
So I'm guessing they asked the host for this, and he says Avatar: The Way of Water. He had that down to that and Alien. They weren't sure. They split 125. Thank goodness. I'm sorry, my mistake. It was one mistake and a good thing, because the answer was WALL-E.
Yep.
Just for just because I want to look it up, Idiocracy was set in the year 2505. Okay.
Yep. Avatar The Way of Water was set in the year 16 plus 2154, which would be 2170.
Okay.
And the final movie.
Alien.
Alien. 2122.
Okay. 21st. Yeah, there you go. So there's that. There's that. But, boy, we almost got a millionaire on Pressure Luck, but I think this is the second closest, right?
I believe this is the second closest, and how appropriate is it that it happens on a redemption episode? We have 3 people who were whammied by the whammy. They come back for sweet Pressure Luck redemption. There will be Kelly, Purple Lady, and Samadhi. Now, going into the final big board round, Samadhi spins out the big 50, which includes 50 designer handbags
worth $45,000.
Yep, that puts her at a total of $76,600. Kelly gets whammied and makes up for it with $7,000. Purple Lady gets whammied twice and then whammied again. only to end up with lunch with Elizabeth worth $19,867. That is one heck of a ticket. And speaking of a heck of a ticket, hey, look, it's Gordon Pepper, ladies and gentlemen.
Where?
Right.
Where?
Yes. Right behind you, man.
Can we let's flip back for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do the quick lightning round backtrack with Gordon here.
So, Gordon, on Big Brother, Catherine won the veto but didn't use it. It's Zach, Keanu, and Vince. Who goes home, and does it depend on the blockbuster?
It's interesting because the one thing that all three of them have in common is that nobody in the majority wants them there. So it's interesting. I think if Vince does not win, he is toast. Because I think people do not like it when you play all the sides and get caught doing it. That is what Vince has been there for. Zach also, and Keanu also, but at least everybody knows with Keanu that Keanu is not one to be trusted. So I would say Vince, of all people, needs to win that blockbuster. I think it's either Vince or Zach that is leaving. I think Keanu will stick around.
Yeah, we said...
Oh, I agree with that.
I said if Vince wins the blockbuster, Zach is leaving. If Zach wins the blockbuster, Vince is leaving.
I agree with that.
And no matter who leaves, put emotion over gameplay.
And I have a question for you, Gordon. Do you think it was the right call for Zach not to give the $10,000 to Ava?
Yeah, because if I'm Zach, I see my game is in trouble anyway. And let's walk out of the house with $10,000.
Wow!
Why not? No, Ava's walking out with $5,000 guaranteed. Easy.
Right. So, Project Runway. Are you kind of like they're using the cliffhanger too much, aren't they? A little bit?
No, not at all. I mean, if you look at it this way, the cliffhanger is used to make you come back and to see, okay, who's leaving. I don't know why they don't do this more often, to be quite honest. I mean, I don't know why you want this self-contained episode on something that they really want you to come back on. I've always wondered that.
Okay.
So, no, I mean, to be quite honest, they should have been doing this a long time ago.
What do you think about Ethan bringing Utica Queen to the runway?
I don't think you need to play that card yet.
I didn't think so either, but I guess producers being producers, they want to get all of the bait out early. I don't know.
Okay. Your job is to make the characters compelling so that they care. Right now, first couple of episodes, this has been a very good season. So they're doing what they're supposed to be doing here. So I don't have an issue with that either.
Okay.
Okay. So back to Press Your Luck, Chico.
Okay. So lunch with Elizabeth is not enough to win, and Samadhi wins $76,600, which is hers to keep. Free and clear. Now we go to the Big Bucks bonus round. First level. 100 jars of pickles every year for 25 years.
That's a lot of pickles, man.
That's what she said. Oh, sorry.
Yes. So, and there's also a John Deere zero turn commercial riding lawnmower and also a private wine tasting.
Yes.
He spends $3,100, $5,000, $3,333, $3,000, and pickles, which is worth about $10,000. She's got $24,408. Okay?
Right. All right. Next is a roller coaster riding tour. I want to go!
Right.
And a personal driver at a Jimmy Choo collection. She hits $25,000 in a spin, $3,000 in a spin, $3,800, $6,000. $47.50, $33.33, and $47.50. So far, we're up to $75,041. Level 3. a Mercedes-Benz GLA.
That's 25K in the trunk. And they also put some chicken parm up there, I'm guessing with a trip to Italy, yes?
Probably. They don't say where the chicken parm is coming from. Unfortunately, she hits a whammy and loses everything, only to spend another $92.50. So now we go to level four. This is what Jay was trying to rack his head over the last week, and that is a year of samadhi. A private chef, personal stylist, and a blowout for 5 years, and a Greek vacation for 2 weeks.
So then she spends $6,800, $85,000, $5,500, and a spin, and $5,555. So she's got $35,605. And the big bucks bonanza, she spends $50,000. $25,000 in a spin, the Euro Samadhi package, and $25,000.
All right.
Wow.
I'm doing the math of right now. The Euro Samadhi package, by the way, is $207,245. And the $25,000 brings her final total in the bonus to $342,850. Combined with the $76,600 in prizes and cash that you won in the front game, gives you a grand total samadhi of $419,450. Congratulations!
That's a big-ass total. Really great.
It is. I believe, and we did the research, but second closest to the half mil needed to win the 1 million.
Good episode, yes?
Gordon.
Yeah, it was a fun episode.
Okay. Chico, let's do some quick reviews, because yes. You saw them both.
Okay, this is going to be really quick reviews, because there is not much to talk about with one of them, and the other one is an easy comparison. Chef Grudge Match. If you remember Super Chef Grudge Match with Darnell Ferguson as host, it is the exact same show with Layla Ali hosting instead of Darnell Ferguson. For my money, Layla Ali is the better of the two hosts. I think this show might just make it, after all. It gets a B from me.
I'm not as bullish on this as you are. If you've seen this, you've seen them all. It's nice, it's cute, but it doesn't do anything to make any changes on this show. And this show actually could have been enhanced a little bit, B-.
And the next one?
Next one is called Final Draft. It is a news show out of Japan on Netflix. And the premise is a group of former Japanese athletes, 25 of them, are undertaking grueling physical tasks in order for one of them to go home with another round of glory and 30 million yen, roughly $200,000. So it's basically physical 100 for old heads.
Yeah, this really felt like, and Chico, I think you're going to understand what I'm saying. Me too. We're going to do this and just make it like this, and then it's that.
Yeah.
C plus.
I'll give it a C plus. Only because I am a big fan of the genre of the program. C plus just seems like I'm being generous, but at the same time, it's decent watching, decent binging if you've got the time and the patience for it.
Yeah, my attitude is closer to, if you haven't seen this before, you'll like it better than how we do. Because we have.
There you go.
But as we end this segment, we need to get five good questions about our favorite show going into its 54th season. I am guessing September 22nd or September 15th, depending. I don't know when.
I believe it's the 22nd, but I know they are currently in production right now.
It's The Price is Right.
All right, we've seen some good stuff come out of Haven Studios for year two in Haven Studios. Now we're going to talk about it and the potential for more in season 54, starting with this one question. Daytime or primetime, what specials and or twists from the past season would you like to see on the next season? For example, jackpot shows, dream cars, that sort of thing.
Number one, I would love to see another Superfans episode. I think the Superfans episode was one of the best things they ever did, daytime or nighttime. I think Jackpot January was fantastic this year. I don't know if they're going to do a Dream Car Week on the daily daytime because they have The Price is Right at night. But Superfans and Jackpot January is where I'm at. What about you, Gordon?
Obviously, Car Week, Big Money Week. But I'm also one of those people, I like FOMO Week. Or doing something generational gap. You know, maybe make it an all-vacation special or tie everything up to something. And obviously, April Fools and holidays.
Well, yeah. I mean, remember, they've done, let's see. Well, we know they've done... what was it? They've done Back to School. I know they've done...
Breast Cancer Awareness.
Holidays, Thanksgiving. CBS does not have the Super Bowl this year, right?
No, that's going to NBC this year.
Okay, so they won't be doing the NFL, I'm guessing. Okay. And of course, they'll have Valentine's Day and a bunch of other stuff. They're one of the few shows that actually do theme weeks and theme shows very well. I have the next one. Okay, we have not seen a new game debut in 4 years. It's September 14th, 2021. Since To the Penny, Back to 70. When do we get another one, if not this season?
I think you can count on Premier Week this coming season for a new game to show up. Now that they're acclimatized. Yeah, now that they're acclimatized to life at Haven and they know what they're dealing with, now they can, make that set work for them. What do you think, Jay?
I'm not so sure it's this season. I think they're going to wait another year or two, maybe year, like 2026, make it 5 years, because it's been a while. It really has been a while. I'm also interested, Gordon, on games that get refreshed, because we all know that one or two games get refreshed every year. And I don't know if they're going to do it this year or not.
We shall see.
Shall see. Gordon, do you have one?
Is this the year that Drew Carey decides that he wants to go after an Emmy?
I don't think so. I think he knows,
I don't.
I think he knows that the show is bigger than him, so.
I think I respect his selflessness on this, because he has always taken a road that the show is not his, unlike Bob Barker, who made the show about him, about him. He puts the show above himself, and I respect that. I don't think we'll ever see it, because if he did, we've said this on multiple occasions, he would have had two or three Emmys by now.
I agree.
I have one more, and you have the last one.
All right.
Okay. Speaking of Drew Carey, he's starting his 18th season as the host of Price is Right. Ratings are great. Show was consistently good, one of the best shows on TV. Why do you think even 18 years later there's still a segment of the population that does not accept him or and knocks him still?
This is perhaps one of the easiest questions that we can answer on Five Good Questions. I will quote our good friend Brian Henniker on this, and I apologize if I mess up the quote, so it's more of a paraphrase. Drew Carey is not Bob Barker, and there is a certain caliber of fan that will never forgive him for that.
A couple of reasons. Number one, jealousy. He's in a position where a lot of people really would want to be. And when you get to that point, you got contempt, number one. Number two, he's not Bob Barker. He's not Bill Cullen. He's Drew Carey. And we've gotten to that point, not just in TV, but in society, where you have the not my game show host going on with not my president, not my this, and not my that. So, haters gonna hate.
Okay, Biko, the final question.
The final question. The Price is Right has been the number one daytime program 691 of the last 701 consecutive weeks, averaging 3.95 million viewers this season. This season, The Price is Right will average...
Over four. Again, The Price is Right, contrary to the fans... Contrary to the loud fans, let me rephrase that, is one of the best shows on TV. Continuously one of the best shows on TV. Over four.
I think it will be over four as well. I'm guessing maybe 4.1 million?
No. 4.01. Let's not get crazy. They're not going to gain 150,000 on average.
Gordon?
Over four seems to be the correct answer. You know, I think it's settled into its nice niche groove. It may actually be benefited if they spin it the correct way off of late night going down the toilet, so to speak.
Yeah.
But only time will tell there.
And of course, it being available to stream on Paramount Plus can only help.
Yeah, more on Paramount Plus in Dad Apto as well. So, which show do we do next week for Five Good Questions?
We go play, Steve! It's Family Feud.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. All right. Well, in Act 3, we're going to be getting our acting on. As WLTI Theater returns. But first, Chico, all the news you never needed to know.
Yeah, all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including something that sounds very familiar if you are a fan of jokes. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, 6-8-5-1, your home, where we love to interrupt you. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different shows that look remarkably like 22 other shows that you've seen before.
The Cut.
The Glass House.
And The Apprentice.
Glass House and Big Brother.
Oh, there was another Big Brother one. Was that the one on Sci-Fi, Glass House?
No, that was the one. No, that was the one on ABC.
Okay. Let's see, Manhunt and The Chase, Chase.
The Voice
and
American
Idol. Yes, and for those who...
You know what, we'll think about that. We'll be right back here at 5-1. This is We Love to Interrupt.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation, end the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
WLTI has been sponsored by The Life of a Whammy from PTL Records. Actually, PYL Records. Newest release includes Tammy Wamette's Fire Burns, Lightning Strikes, and All the Money is Mine. It's the new era of Whammy from PYL Records. Coming to your latest streaming service, 20th of Never.
Jason,
not as big as the other announcement, but
yeah, Jason's been on a kick ever since he saw the clip on New Heights of Taylor revealing the new album.
Yes, so it's her orange. She's in her orange era right now. But what era we're in right now is the Brain Vision era. Gordon, if you would please,
roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions, and you can listen to Doug Morris as he hosts Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt every Sunday on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app. Okay, stop us if you've heard this one. Comedians competing to see who's funny.
Stop! Hit the music.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh,
it's business. It's
okay, so Kevin Hart is teaming up with Netflix to launch a comics challenge show. Yet to be named. But the details are as follows. Kevin Hart is on a mission to crown the next big name in stand-up with a new comedy competition series guided by Kevin Hart and a crew of comedy titans to be announced at a later date. This unfiltered, uncensored, and unapologetic competition will pull back the curtain on the gritty, hilarious, and often unpredictable path of a stand-up career. I remember this show back when it was called Last Comic Standing and, with the exception of season 5, was not funny at all.
I need to use a word here that's not going to get me sued.
Well, while he's trying to figure out what
word, how about to put it to you this way? Last Comics, I don't believe in any of these comedy competitions because they're massaged for certain people to be successful. How's that?
That's about as good as you're probably going to get here. But again, like I mentioned, season 5. Some names that came out of season 5: Doug Benson, Lavelle Crawford, Deborah DiGiovanni, Ralph Harris, Amy Schumer, Gina Yashere, and the current host of Family Feud Canada, Terry D.
And also some guy named Gabriel Iglesias, too.
Who'd that guy be?
Mm-hmm. Gordon, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, you gotta remember, for better or for worse, Kevin Hart did this little something called TKO. So he does have experience in this genre or field. On paper, it could be good, but we've seen many a time where it doesn't fit. So, jury's out for me.
Yeah.
Well, the jury's out for the future, but we've got Pico, where is the summer? When is the summer was supposed to be for rest?
Yeah, this summer's been a washout.
Silly boy.
This summer's been a washout. You know this. It's raining as we speak.
Mm-hmm. So on Friday, I want to see this documentary because we know where this is going to go. Fit for TV, The Reality of the Biggest Loser, a documentary on Netflix. Oh, boy. Perfect Match is the season finale on Netflix. Also the season finale of The Great American Recipe. And an awesome special called Stand Up to Cancer, which has been around for a long, long time. If you can donate, please do. Saturday is the Great American Baking Show Celebrity Summer. Monday is the premiere of the Virgin Dating Show, Are You My First, on Hulu and ABC, and Lego Masters Jr. Wednesday, we have on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Carl Kalpen and Jamila Jamil, Gary Jannetty and Brad Gorski, and Chloe Fineman and Jillian Bell. That does not look promising if you got three teams going.
Yeah, I will say, though, Gary Jannetty, creator of one of the most underrated shows on Tubi, Vicious, out of the UK. Really good watch there. It's like Ian McKellen and Derek Jacobi as the oldest, bitterest, gayest couple you've ever seen.
That's hilarious. Match Game has, as you said, Joel McHale, Amy Sedaris, Lamora Norris, Annie Murphy, Kevin Nealon, and Z-Way. And then next Thursday is Celebrity Family Feud, Normani versus Michelle Buteau, and Andy Richter versus Jason Ritter, and the season finales of Alone and Alone Australia. But this time, we need to talk about that app, though. We've got two of them. Between three.
Three.
I'll tell you about the three in a minute.
Okay. Have to get the mind seed in there. Okay.
I'll tell you about the one that you did not cover, and it actually includes us because we're going to talk about, because of the show The Ultimate Fighter, which we cover here. You remember the big media deal we talked about last week between ESPN and WWE?
Yes.
There is now a new media deal between CBS and Paramount Skydance, I believe that's the name of the company, and the UFC, who are paying the UFC $1.1 billion a year for the next 7 years for exclusive rights to UFC productions on Paramount Plus and CBS. And the big thing is, Gordon, and if you want to watch a UFC pay-per-view, there will be no more UFC pay-per-views because they are included in the Paramount Plus package.
Kind of sort of what ESPN doing is with the WWE package that we talked about last week.
Right. Well, yes. But in this particular case, it's for the Paramount. If you subscribe to Paramount Plus, you will get the UFC pay-per-views starting in 2026. So there's that. Now, Chico, you can go to the other stuff.
Okay, let's start with Jeopardy Daily, a brand new app that just came out.
It's available. Oh, it will be coming out.
Okay. It will be
coming out September 4th. Okay. You get 15 clues. It costs three categories. It's from Frosty Pop, okay, you will get weekly tournaments, answer input that you can recreate the contestant experience. This is from the Apple logline. Be first to experience the brand new daily Palettes game. There's an unlimited loops mold And doesn't say anything for Android yet, but I'm expecting it to be there around the same time. And there were a couple of screenshots, on the Apple App Store.
And our
that
third,
I'm looking at.
Yeah, and our third item was spotted in the wild and comes to us courtesy of Konami Gaming, and that is the Buzzer Flashback Fun Machine. Gordon, you actually brought this to our attention. It's a one-level linked progressive with a slot machine, bonus jackpots, a beat-the-clock prize feature triggered during a free game, of which you can win 12, and there are the buzzer credit prize bonus, the TV bonus, and the game show bonus. So this is basically a licensed slot machine based on the buzzer IP.
Gordon, where did you see the slot machine?
Well, the slot machine, I saw it in Delaware at Delaware Downs.
Ah, okay.
And it's a buzzer slot machine.
Right.
So basically, it's actually pretty neat. They have a bunch of different bonus games, depending on which game you land. The first icon, which is Buzzer, if you land on that and you get money amounts all the way across, you get whatever money amount you land. If it continues and there happens to be a game show that stops by the letter reels, you will play the bonus rounds based on that, based on whatever you pull up. You can have anything from, obviously, free games. Obviously, there's a little pressure luck. There's some Let's Make a Deal. There's Match Game. There's Beat the Clock. So there's a lot of fun stuff. Major playability value, especially on the repeating end.
Excellent. So that is a very smart idea.
That is
extremely smart.
Yep.
I
don't know what to think about this.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Machine Gun Kelly wants to believe, guys.
What does he want to believe in?
Okay, I should say MGK, the voice mentor, does not think he is of the human persuasion, according to himself. He was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, where he says, it's a weird thing, dude. I don't know if my age, I don't know if I exist. I don't know many facts about my life, so I don't know. I'm starting to be like, if my skin rips open, it heals really quick. I'm starting to believe, like, who's my dad?
And then he
talks about his mom. He said, she told me she felt like she got abducted at one point. I'm bad at talking. I shouldn't have came on a talk show. Basically put, he thinks he's part alien.
There are a lot of people who should be, who are part alien. Oh.
Yeah, I would say he's not alone in those thoughts.
Not at all. But I'm thirsty. Let's get some Haterade in there.
If you are a fan of Gleb Shevchenko, I've got bad news. He is leaving Dancing with the Stars. And I have even worse news on top of that. Allegedly, keyword there, allegedly, it's all Brooks Nader's fault.
Yes. Okay. This is from People Magazine. It was in a TikTok video he shared last Saturday. He seemingly slammed his ex-girlfriend's allegation that she had proof that he's a cheater. Okay. And he goes, I don't know where you got the information from. I don't know who your source is, but I will be the first one to tell you that is incorrect. And he captioned the post, your source needs a refund because that story 100% fake. And he goes, and one TikTok user wrote, can't wait to see you on my TV in September, to which he replied, afraid you won't. which means he was in 16 and was on the show for the last 23 to 33. Okay.
14 years of loyalty erased by someone's lie.
According to one user.
Yes. False accusations are real.
Yeah, but you know what? Please. I mean, look. Any attention to Dancing with the Stars is going to get, you know, because we don't know who. I mean, we've got a couple of the casting. It's going to be Dancing with the what? I mean, come on. Right. Where are we sending MJK and Gleb? And hopefully it's not to another planet.
No, they're going to the UK.
Been around the world and I can't find my baby. I don't know when, I don't know why he's gone away.
Hey, who here's a fan of the floor? He says as he raises his hands.
Okay, of course.
All right, the floor is coming to ITV, and you will not believe who's hosting.
Is it Rob Lowe?
Oh my God, you guessed it.
Oh, he's doing the UK version too?
He's doing the UK version too.
I'm 50-50 on this.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to play exactly like the other 24 versions of the floor on this planet we call our home.
Right, but Gordon, don't you think there's enough talent in Britain to find somebody besides the U.S. version?
I think there is enough talent to find people. The question just becomes, A, do they have time, and B, how many, if any, is on the take?
And also, and this is the part that makes the most sense to me, don't they tape the Fox version around the UK?
They do it in Ireland because I know our good friend Mickey Bowden produces it, and I know Adam Neidiff writes for it.
There's your reason. If they could keep Rob Lowe there for another couple of weeks to shoot the UK version, that'll save money on time.
I should know better. Seriously.
Yes, you should.
Right, and then we'll get some more media pros.
I got pros in different area codes.
Media Pro Report, Jana De Laurentiis says she's cried after Mario Batali credited her success to big boobs.
I was in her first book.
No, Mario Batali. That's a bad Mario Batali.
Yeah, well, that was before he got canceled. Next.
Derek Huff, congratulations. He is the new host of Extra as they begin the new season soon. Stephen Fry.
So Mario Lopez is out?
Well, Billy Bush.
Oh, Billy Bush is out.
Mario
okay.
Lopez hosts Access, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I could have those two confused. But anyway, Stephen Fry narrates This Is Soho. Jimmy Kimmel is hoping to turn his web show into an Emmy. Rachel Recchia reveals the real reason, allegedly, why Clayton Ecker dumped her on Perfect Match. Andy Cohen teases Love Island 7, The Reunion. Jinky Caliente gets a tribute on Drag Race Philippines, Slasian Royale. We lost Danielle Spencer from What's Happening. Gordon Ramsay's taking a road trip to Taste Made. Jimmy Kimmel has gained Italian citizenship. Travis Kelce blames acting and being an entertainer for his NFL performance last season. Pat Sajak is on the stage and Vanna White and Pat Sajak are reunited before his stage performance. Sierra Ortega has not learned a damned thing, making another unseemingly social post. Heidi N. Closet appears in an ad for Elf with Matt Rife, which I can't even begin to unpack. Orlandria Carthen sides with DBA. Byron Allen flips 10 of his TV stations for $171 million. Caitlin Bristow soft launches her relationship with Zach Clark. Venus Delight spent over $100,000 to look like Madonna. Pre-Ray of Light. Plastique Tiara officially off the market. Congratulations to her. But none of them are your pros of the week. And it's a lot of pros. 20 years of pros. We have the past versus the future on the upcoming second half of season 21 of Wild and Out on September 1st. And I've got a list here of names that I have to scratch my head and say, are these actual names? They are DJ D-Rec, DC Young Fly, Justina Valentine, Conceited, Emmanuel Hudson, Carlos Miller, Chico Bean, B. Simone, Bobby J. Thompson, Radio Big Mac, Charlie Clips, Hitman Holla, Maddie Smith, Pretty V, Santuan McRae, Jesse Wu, Rip Michaels, Lovely Mimi, C. King, Courtney, that's a Pokemon, Courtney B, Philip Hudson, Or Mash, Morgan J, Fats the Barber, That Boy Funny, Kosha Dills, Tyler Chronicles, King Cannon, and Sydney Castillo. They will be joined with a few of Crash. 3, 2, 1. They will be joined by a crew of fresh comedic talent, including Vinny Guadagnino. Yes, that Vinny Guadagnino. Mojo Brooks, Frack, Joey Dardano, Assad Bembo, Joey Romaine, Lucas, Sydney Duncan, Rini Akando, Famous Angel, Eagle Witt, The Lookalikes, and Christian Crosby. We also have celebrity guests including Jim Jones, Drew Hill, Fabulous, Lecrae, Carla Hall, Next, Da Vinci, April Jones, Bobby Shmurda, Scarlip, Sukihana, Little TJ, Big Boss Vet, Kalee, Lola Brooke, Big X the Plug, 702, Layla Pruitt, Kenny Hoopla, OG Parker, Tonio Skits, Klondike Blonde, JD McCrary, Iceware Vezo, Genesis Davila, and Gina Fontanella. Who are these people? And where the hell is Afion Crockett?
And Matt Rife. And Cat Williams. And,
Rossica Mather.
Yes. Any of your favorites, G, missing?
No, believe it or not.
Okay.
But I thought they did a really good job with the list.
Oh, well,
right, so we'll find out. We'll find out all that this week.
No, it's not all that. It's Wild and Out. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I have to ask, though, do you think that because they're doing this, that it's done? Or do you think they still have... does the show still have life in it?
I think they're setting Wild and Out up for the next generation, you see. They're keeping everything fresh by bringing new faces to join with the seasoned veterans. Right?
Right.
Yep.
Gordon, the cue, please.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Right over there.
Still to come, acting! Anybody? Well,
me.
Yeah, me. We are going to get our theater on right after this. Of course, this is Brain Vision News on WLTI on 5N1. Let's go. We'll be right back.
WLTI is presented by Last Comic Standing. Yes, we have the most legendary comics battling it out for comic supremacy. Who will be the last comic standing? Garfield? Wizard of Id? Doonesbury? Krabby Road? The Far Side? Bloom County? For better or for worse? No, that'll be
Tank McNamara.
Beetle Bailey.
Zitz. Foxtrot.
Get Fuzzy.
A big kid. Tracy. I don't know if that's still around.
That is
yes.
The real last comic standing, coming to a comics page near you.
I'm always down for family circus myself.
Of course, you would be.
Very good. Very good. So, we are doing one of our favorite games. It's sort of a kind of role-play-ish. It's WLTI Theater, where we make up scenes and we find out what's going on. Like what, Chico?
Okay, here's a scene for you. Gordon, you... are Rob Lowe. Jason, you are ITV. Break the news that Rob Lowe is going to do double duty in 2026 with both the Fox and the ITV versions of The Floor. And action!
So, Rob, got a couple of extra weeks in your schedule?
Let's see. Fighting supervillains, check. Doing a remaster of Less Than Zero, check. Yeah, I think I'm okay.
Well, because why? Well, because we want you to actually host the UK version. Stay here in Ireland for an extra couple of weeks and actually get our show off the ground and give it a good reputation.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you have any rings on you?
Rings?
Rings.
What type of rings are you talking about?
I'm talking about rings that if I can just snap my finger, I can make things disappear.
We'll look into it. How's that?
Okay, well, that would be fantastic. Because then, you know, you can have pictures of Thanos, pictures of the rings, maybe somebody can snap, maybe you can have a glove round, maybe we can have a comic book round. We can do all sorts of stuff.
Yes.
Maybe a French fry round. I like French fries. Even though we're not in France.
Okay.
And cut. See how easy that is?
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Easy.
Okay. Okay. Chico, you're Keanu. Okay.
I'm Keanu. Okay.
Explain to me how you've been on the block pretty much every week, including this one. How are you going to win Big Brother?
How am I going to win Big Brother? Let me tell you something. I don't need to think about how to win Big Brother because I've been winning Big Brother from the moment I stepped foot in this house. People have been trying to gun for my ass, and they have not succeeded. And you know why? Because I got their number. I know that I'm in trouble every time I step foot into the diary room or into the backyard or into the kitchen. I know people are out there looking for a reason to hang me. I know this. I have a strong alliance, and I think that... Okay, I want to say I have a strong alliance, but at the same time, I got to watch out for myself. So I'm watching out for myself, and that's why I am where I am, and that's why I can get out from where I am. This is over.
Excuse me, my name is Taylor. You can hold my beer.
Taylor, you are my Shiro, Taylor.
Okay, well, first of all, you gotta act pretty, because I'm the pageant queen. We all know what happens about that. And second of all, stop being a yutz. The reason why you're on the block is that it's so incriminating. You're being a yutz. But this game is social. You're failing miserably on social. Get your act together. And don't compare yourself to me. I'm much better than you are.
And scene.
We're going to hell.
Yes. Okay. Gordon, you're one.
All right. So, I've decided I was going to do the women's roles here. But I'm not going to do a women's role this time. Chico, you, since you're Panamanian, are Panama.
I am Panama.
Jason, you are. Jason, you are Vanuatu.
Ah.
Explain to me why your location should be the next location for Survivor 50. And entertain me.
I'm closer. End of conversation.
The closer. Look. We have been in the area for almost a decade now. All we have to do is just migrate for production to our place, which is still hot, tropical, with a lot of storms and a lot of drama. All you are is in the middle of the two continents, and you have a canal.
That sounds sexy. It does sound sexy, but I got a question for you. How much is CBS willing to throw into production to keep Survivor in that area where they can shave off a lot of the travel expenses, keeping it close to home? You know how long it takes to get from California to Panama?
You have
5 hours, man. Not even 5 hours. 3 hours, man.
We have a relationship with Jeff. Jeff knows us. Jeff knows the area. When was the last time you were in Panama, Survivor? Ever?
I know this. It was the Panama season, the Exile Island season. Easy.
All I know is that we're hotter, we're hotter, we're more beautiful, we're more tropical.
Sure, sure, if you say so.
Chico, you're next.
Gordon, you are... We're going back to... I'm going to keep diving into this last comic standing well until it runs dry. Gordon, you're Kevin Hart. Jason, you are Bill Bellamy. One of the many hosts of Last Comic Standing. I want Kevin, Gordon, to explain to Bill, Jason, why his stand-up competition is going to be different from Last Comic Standing. And action.
Play it. Tell me what you got.
You know, I gotta go to the bathroom. Oh, I can't really take this at this point. I'm gonna be right back. Oh, excuse me. Walk, 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 walk.
You?
Walk, 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 walk. Hey, Jason, baby! I cannot be Kevin Hart for this. Because I want to go really old school on you, baby. You see this paper bag I have over my head?
Oh, hey, Murray, what's going on, brother?
I got this paper bag on my head, and I got one of these little gong handles, and hey, I can shoot all night, because if we're going to do comics, let's do the original OG. You know, while I was in there, we didn't have to deal with the silliness about being on TV. We had a gong. You had 90 seconds. If you couldn't do it within 90 seconds, you got gonged. And they love me so much. Hey, it's not just Murray, baby. It's Chucky, baby. Hey, Chucky, baby, what's the difference between a bowling ball and Kevin Hart? Bowling Ball's got a slow roll. Kevin Hart's got to slow his roll. Understand what I'm saying, Chucky, baby?
Good
night. Just the punchline in my head for what the difference between Kevin Hart and a bowling ball is. I couldn't even say, even if I wanted to.
And I was being clean.
Yes, all right. Oh, my goodness.
As a part of you being in the 70s, you could be dirty.
Yeah, yes, you could.
No, the correct answer, right, by the way, is on Kevin Hart's show, you can say words like and oh, and this is Ken Jennings' favorite.
Yes, exactly.
We didn't need to do that back then. All we need to do is have J.P. Morgan take off her clothes and show us her boobs.
Scene. Done. Finished.
We're done. We're good.
All right, let me see if I can give you one here. Okay, Gordon. Or Utica Queen.
I am sexy.
Yes, you are.
My humps.
Okay.
My lovely lady lumps.
Why did you bring your drag persona out there so early? Aren't you worried about, don't you think your designs should represent you, not your personality?
Well, I look at it this way. LA Roach is going after everybody. And so therefore, we're in episode 3. I'm the bottom two. I'm even going home. You know, in the words of RuPaul's Drag Race, I made it to the midpoint, and I didn't get to show everybody all my stuff. You know, what you're packing? I was packing plenty. So you know what? If I'm going to get knocked out this early or later or whatever, I am going to make sure that I show all my tricks, I pull everything out of the bag, and I make sure that you get to see everything, and I'm not holding back. So you're going to see Utica Queen, you're going to see Utica King, you're going to see Bill King, you're going to see Rodney King, you're going to see everything King and Queen, maybe Jerry Queen. But you're going to see it all, because I'm not going to be the one that gets knocked out with me going out and saying, well, I wish I did this. No, not going to do that. My humps, my lovely lady lumps. I got lady lumps. You got lady lumps? I'm going to show you my lady lumps.
Hey.
I'm Utica Queen.
Hey now. Okay, and finally, Gordon,
hey.
You have the all-in challenge, I imagine.
Oh, of course I do. So, you know, we haven't really discussed the Prices Right at all. I mean, we sort of have, but not in this way. So we're going full circle. Jason, your dice.
Uh-huh.
Chico, you're a deck of cards.
I'm a lucky jack.
You are. I am a Flanko chip. You're going to discuss what is the most important prop on The Price is Right and why. Because you're going to the Emmy of Best Prop.
Ow.
And see.
Well, of course, you know, look, I'm on Dice Game. I'm on Let It Roll. There are a few games where I am the most important prop on the show.
Yeah, that may be true, but I come in a whole lot of sizes. For the card game, you can have a standard playing deck of cards. But if you want to go old school, and I'm all about the old school, Hit Me is the big boys.
Wow, baby. You can lay me flat on a board, and I will roll. and I'll go in between your nails. Right in that big slot right in the middle. You can't say that you guys can do that. I can get you money. I can get you a car. Just use me the right way. Oh, yeah, because I'm a sexy Plinko chip.
Dude, okay, look.
Are we still talking about Plinko chips?
You can have five of me at the same time. That is a Plinko gangbang right there. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I had to.
I know. Okay.
I mean, when the next time Plinko comes out, you're both gonna have nightmares.
Exactly.
Yes.
Indeed, but yes. Let's not have a Let's not have a nightmare as we head into the speed round, as we get this show off the road. I mean, we get the show on the road so Chico can pack for his flight. This is WLTI. We love to interrupt. One more round to go on 5-1.
WLTI has been brought to you by the new circular competition. Because now that Gordon has promptly made the Plinko chip banned because of all the evil thoughts, now we got to figure out a substitute. What can we work that will work? A cookie? A small personal pizza? A frisbee?
A bagel.
A bagel?
A hockey puck.
A donut? A hockey puck? Any of these things, because if we say Plinko and Drew Carey's got his Plinko stick, then Jason Elliott's going to throw us off the air again. So, therefore, it's time for the new Grand Circular Search, because we really need to make this a more G-rated show, because Gordon screws everything up.
Yeah, he does.
Blame Gordon for everything. Hashtag Gordon gets blamed for everything.
Oh, Gordon.
Hit me with your Plinko stick. Oh. Hit me. Hit me. If you know, you know, by the way, if you understand the musical reference.
Yes. We need to start a speed round, and we will do that now. Not Big Brother just yet. AGT. We talked about it last week. We have the first quarterfinal coming up on Tuesday. Give me an act or two that will move on to the semifinals or finals.
All right, my guess is I'm going to, I could tell you who it is, but I'm just going to go with the low-hanging fruit and say Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras.
I'm still trying to understand how Tom Sandoval got in there to begin with. I don't think he wins, but there's no way he doesn't get out of the first round.
I will also add Lightwire to the mix at all. Big Brother, who's going to be on the Loser's Lounge couch with the next person? And do we get a double elimination soon?
Not till the end of the month, my friends. But if I am Zach or Vance, I play my heart. Vince, sorry. Am I Zach or Vince? I play my heart out because I am Mark.
Yeah, way too early for double eliminations, but never too early if you're Vince to start packing up your suitcases and maybe go out to the same trip that Chico's taking.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Vince, but do not be surprised if people actually just play with their emotions like they're doing now, sadly. A millionaire. Do we get another $1 million win?
I don't think so.
Out with three people next week.
Not next week. Press your luck. Do we end the season with a $1 million winner?
Nope. No, we don't, because we'll cover last week's episode. That was not very good. So we'll see. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
No. So a Project Runway, does Utica get eliminated? No.
No, they're setting it up for Ethan / Utica to take the fall, which means Ethan / Utica will not take the fall. Somebody else is going to take the fall, and there's going to be a lot of falling, and also gravity sucks.
I still think Ethan has a lot of credit saved up for his performances in the first two episodes. I don't think he's going anywhere yet.
No. Do we have any mail or anything from our ombudsman or anything like that?
We don't, but if you want to send us something, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. Of course, you can follow us on all social media at WLTI, or at GameShowNewsNet, rather. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I'm at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I'm at GSNN Hatering.
And the network is at 5-1, where we talk about everything going on network-wide, including some summer stuff, some paychecks, and a lot of news coming out of preseason football, including Jordan Love in need of surgery?
Maybe.
Well, that we're going to talk about that on our next installment of the BS Big Show in just a couple of weeks. Not this yes. coming week, but next week.
Yes, it would be the closer to, yeah, because we also have the draft in a few weeks, et cetera, et cetera. Over at the NAWC, we're heading to Paris, and we're also heading to London with Forbidden Door and AEW. We'll also talk about the MMA deal. We're also going to talk about the Clash in Paris card, and we're also going to be talking about all the wrestling news over the last 7 days. Gordon, the fallout from Battle Bowl, what's happening now?
Well, to say the least of the panel, congratulations to Outrage for winning the world title. Congratulations for Jason Redd for being the new heavyweight champion. And congratulations to Gordon Pepper, who was able to host Hot Pursuit. Go check it out. It is live. It is the latest Gordon Pepper game show creation that you can watch on Motogrip's live page. Check it out on Facebook, YouTube, social media. And if you have it for you too, shame on you.
Okay. I've caught part of it. I have to finish it. I've been dealing with stuff. Nico, it was a thing.
All right, so we just loaded the new episode up. It is the new Perry Mason featuring Monty Markham in the role that Raymond Burr made famous with sufficiently less cases than Raymond Burr. We also have WCW Clash of the Champions 28 on the Squared Circle Time Machine and Quark Baby Talk and the Best of Blind Justice. It was a thing on TV.com. So next week, we are going to hopefully give a million on Press Your Luck. We're going to go over 3 games of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We're going to send 2 people to the casting couch. And we're going to ask 5 good questions on Family Feud. But until then, my friends. For Gordon Pepper, Jason Block, everybody at 5-1. My name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love. Bit.
this program.